Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and it is Christmas Eve Eve. And that means it's the day before Christmas Eve. And I am here by myself on an open show. No Mikey, no Chris, no Graham, no any of my associates. I'm here by myself, so I'm doing an open show tonight. And I'm only taking calls between now and 6:45, so if you want to call in, now would be the best time to do it. If you have a question, maybe you have something that you say, you know, if he answers this for me, this could make the difference in my 2021. This would be great to know if you could help me with it. Maybe it's a Social Security question. Maybe it's a Medicare question. Maybe it's a IRA question, Roth IRAs, as we've talked about on end till it's almost becomes tired of hearing us talk about Roth IRAs and the power of them and why you should be making sure that you get money into Roth IRAs. You know, maybe it's about your auto and home insurance, or maybe it's about long-term care insurance. Maybe it's about life insurance, you know. And I tell you, there's a topic there that's pretty abused. I can't tell you how many times people come to us and we look at their life insurance, and it is absolutely the worst insurance you could possibly want. And my opinion is because insurance agents are paid to sell this stuff and not teach people how to get the right insurances for them at the most cost-effective way possible. So anyway, if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. And the reason I'm stopping at 6:45 is because I said last week I got a gift for everyone at 6:50 to 7 o'clock when we close out. And I'll tell you about that at 6:50. But between now and then, I'm on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in, ask a question. And now is the best time, since we have a good bit of time, you know, the earlier your call, the more time you get. Rebecca in PA, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm not getting my mail, and I understand that's a nationwide problem.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I've got two concerns. First, am I going to be responsible if I don't pay my bills in time? And also, I am concerned about not getting my forms in time for the tax season.
Well, you don't have to worry about the forms in time for tax season because most of those are done electronically now. As a matter of fact, it's almost impossible to send paper tax returns to the IRS. And 2020 was a great lesson. Anybody out there listening, you're sending paper returns into the IRS?
No, I'm saying the 1099.
No, you're talking about those types of forms.
Yes.
Well, you know, most people don't worry about bills coming in the mail anymore because they're getting them all electronically. And so, but if you're getting them, no, you know, I think you could make an argument with any bill person you have that you didn't get the mail, and they're gonna have to admit that it's true. I got something mailed to me on December 4th. It came to me December 21st. It was only one state away that it was being mailed from. So what's that, 17 days to get to me? You know, I mean, you're right. There is a mess going on in the United States Postal Service, unfortunately. You know, I think you're going to have a lot of leniency by companies. So I would not take a late penalty from anyone. And I would call up and let them know that it could be the post office. All right?
Okay. Before you go, can I ask you a question? While I was on hold, you were saying it was kind of the worst insurance you could have, and I didn't hear what you were talking about.
I was talking about life insurance, that, you know, a lot of people buy life insurance, but it's usually very poorly designed. It's designed to make commissions for the insurance agent and not in the best interest of the client. And I can't tell you how often I'd see it. I'd have to put it at 90% of the time it's very poorly designed. And here's another thing. Auto and home insurance, you would think that that's really good, that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I tend to find that at least 75 to 80% of all auto and home insurance is very poorly designed.
I can back up. I can borrow against my life insurance. Isn't that kind of good, or that's bad too, or something? I didn't know that.
It depends on how that policy is structured, when you bought it, what kind of policy it is, what your premiums are, because, you know, here's what I find. I find a lot of people have cash value policies where you can borrow against it, like you just said, et cetera. They don't realize that that policy may not be what they think it is, okay? So there's different types of policies. There are whole life policies that are created by stock companies. There are whole life policies created by mutual corporation or mutual insurance companies. There's universal life policies. There are variable life policies. And each one has different facets to it. And here's the interesting thing. A lot of these universal life and variable life policies, they might have cash in them, but the people don't realize that that cash is going to be sucked out of that policy, possibly. Now, here I'm saying possibly. It's going to be sucked out of that policy when you turn, by the time you turn 70, 75, 80, and, you know, and so forth. And a lot of people don't know it. I mean, we were just looking at one a few weeks ago with a client. They had $35,000 of cash in there, and we went and got in-service illustrations for those clients, okay? And when we looked at the policies, they were all going to be sapped of all the cash in those policies when they turned 78 years of age, and they had absolutely no clue that this was going to happen. But the insurance companies sent the illustrations out that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what was going to happen.
And you like that when you say sapped, you mean like the life, like when you die, like there's supposed to be so much money, but they would like take that $35,000 out?
Again, it's very complicated. You'd have to look at your specific policy.
He is a whiz.
You know, it's, you know, you would think it's easy, but it's not. If your policy is a universal life policy or a variable life policy, you better understand how that policy operates, and do not ask the agent to explain it to you. Get an objective opinion of your policy. I got to run, Rebecca.
Okay,
always good to talk to you.
Thank you. Happy Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. And we're going to be right back with Rob and Jim. Hopefully you hold through this pause, but if anybody else wants to get online, the line's open, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And there's one of three. There you go. Three biggies. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call and ask a question. I got Jim and Rob on. Going to Rob first. He's up first. Rob, how can I help you?
First of all, Merry Christmas to
you.
Your firm and your family.
I appreciate that.
This is a Roth conversion question for you. I need a little guidance. I have a IRA brokerage account with Merrill Lynch. Has about $250K in it, all in equities. Now I want to convert about 50 of that to a Roth. I'd like to keep being able to invest it. And so I'm just not quite sure the process. Do I?
You can do a. You can do.
50K can over, and how do I decide what 50K goes over from all those different equities?
You can do an in-kind rollover, and you should pick the securities that you think have the greatest growth potential. So, you know, did you pick the securities in the investment account?
Yeah, I did. Pretty much all me.
Okay. So look at them and think to yourself, which ones do I think have the greatest opportunity, and tell them to do an in-kind distribution of whatever amount up to how much money you're willing to pay taxes on. Remember, you got to pay taxes on this, okay? So
Now they decide the taxes is just based on the value of the day that I move the money over?
Correct. That's it. But, you know, here's the problem you got, Rob. It is December 23rd.
Yeah.
And these brokerage firms will, you know, they're not the most accommodating people on earth. And they could throw in your face and say, well, wait a minute, we're swamped. We don't have time to do this now. An in-kind rollover. You're going to have to sign some paperwork. You're going to have to tell them what securities to do. Maybe you could do it online. Do you do online with them?
I do. I can do some stuff online.
Okay, well, I'll bet you can do the conversion online where you don't have to talk to anyone and sign anything with anyone. And if you do, that's going to be the way to go, okay? Because, you know, a lot of companies, I know we do a lot of business with Schwab and Fidelity and TD Ameritrade, and even though we're a big player with them, they still give us a hard time when we get down to this level of the year, and they say, you know, hey, we just don't have time to process all this, you know?
Now, so, your suggestion as to which equities to bring over, you know, some of them have long-term gains, some of them have short-term gains.
It doesn't matter. They're in an IRA, so
all in an IRA now.
Yeah, you know, it's just going to be you're moving it over. You're going to pay taxes on $50,000. Whatever you move over, just think which ones are in the IRA that has the greatest growth potential. That's what you want in the Roth, because from that point on, it's tax-free. Am I making myself clear?
I see. Okay.
So let's say I had eight.
What I bring over is, at the moment, a short-term gain or a long-term gain.
It doesn't matter. Forget what you've made in the past. Just totally forget what you made in the past. It's irrelevant, okay? And if, hear me. It is totally irrelevant if you bought a stock at 10 and it's at 100, or you bought a stock at 10 and it's at 20 now, okay? Because it was in an IRA. So it's totally irrelevant. The question you have to ask yourself is, of stock A and stock B, which one do I think still has great growth potential from today forward? That's the only question you need to think about, Rob. Trust me on that.
I'm getting it. If I bring the big potential growers to the Roth, that will grow without tax.
Correct.
If I leave the big potential growers in the regular traditional.
You're going to pay taxes on it.
Bigger tax bill.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the question you're asking yourself. So let's say I have AT&T over here and is paying a 7% dividend, but there's no real growth potential with it. And on the other hand, I've got Google over here, and I think, you know, this thing could continue to skyrocket. I'm going to want to move Google over, not AT&T. You know, I want to move the big growers over. That's the ones I want in my Roth, okay?
Wow, fabulous. Thank you very much.
All right, Rob. Good question. We're going to Jim in Cadenceville. Jim, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, go ahead, buddy.
I got a question. I got a very close relative of mine, and I'm retired myself, but he's thinking about retiring in a couple years. And he bought a business some years ago, which he had some experience in, expertise. And he bought it for much lesser amount, the business, and he built it up very good. And let's say his business now could be $10 million if he sold it tomorrow.
Okay.
And his only concern, the last time I talked to him, and I don't have any experience, and he didn't seem to know anything. He said, I'm going to have to pay capital gain on that. And he said it'd probably be 35%. Well, that didn't sound right to me. It sounded like that would be the federal, and then you got state. But is there any way that he can minimize the capital gain that he would have to pay when he sold?
Yes, and it's so much more complicated than you just talked about. So, you know, it depends on the entity of the business. In other words, is it a sole proprietorship? Is it a partnership? Is it an S corporation or is it a C corporation? So that's one of your first questions. Do you know?
Yes, he owns it himself.
I know, but I said, is it an S corporation, a C corporation, a partnership, or a sole proprietorship?
I do not know that.
Okay. So is it an LLC? Do you happen to know that?
I don't know any of the particulars of it.
Okay, so but that's your first question, is what kind of entity is it, okay? Once you know what kind of entity it is, then you start asking different questions. So, for example, if it's a C corporation, there's the typical scenario. Now here comes the complicated part, okay? Is the buyer of his business going to buy the assets in his business and then walk away with his business, but he still owns the entity, okay? Or are they going to buy the interest in the investment that he owns? So in other words, let's say I own ABC Corporation and XYZ comes in and says they want to buy me. Now, they have two choices. They could just buy all my customers and all my plant and equipment and hire all my employees away and give me a whole bunch of money into my ABC company. And now I'm stuck with having to figure out how to pay the taxes on everything that they just gave me.
That's where he is. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's far more complicated than that.
Okay.
And because you could end up paying all ordinary income, not even capital gains, if it's done improperly. So your friend needs extremely good tax advice. So make sure that he has a really good accountant and lawyer that know what they're doing, because if he does it wrong, he could pay ordinary income at 37 to 50% taxes as opposed to capital gains rate, which would be 20 to 30% if you include the state of Maryland at the worst case scenario. Does he live in Maryland too?
Yes, he does.
So one of the things he might want to even consider is there a possibility I can move to a lower cost state before I sell my business? That's always something that you have to consider. I have a lot of clients that, you know, they move to Florida 3, 4, 5 years before they sell their business. And there still may be some taxes owed to Maryland, but there's plenty that could ultimately be passed to them tax-free, whereas Maryland's going to want 8.5% to 10% of everything that he makes, depending on how much he makes. So the question you're asking is a great question, but it is so complex that if you don't know all the specifics, you would never be able to answer it properly.
Is your organization, could I refer him to your organization for advice on a subject of that nature for a conclusion of it?
Sure, we do that all the time. I mean,
okay.
You know, matter
all
of fact,
right.
We have a very big client that's going for very big numbers, very big numbers.
Right, I understand.
Well above the numbers you're talking about. But we do that all the time. A lot of our clients sell for $1 million, $5 million, $10 million, you know, something of that sort. We had a big one last year that we did. So we help clients with that all the time. So, yes, absolutely. We'd love to talk to them.
What is your business number again? I know it's on the radio, but what is it? I'm recording this.
It's 410-823-7283.
I'll do that, and I'll refer him to you.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. You have a great Christmas, Jim.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to get in for this last quarter hour that we're going to take calls, because at the last 6:50, we're doing a special gift for everyone. And hopefully you'll be listening for that gift. But if you want to get in for this last quarter hour, 410-922-6680.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Is that Carrie Underwood? No? Who is that? Oh, okay. It's a good song. Number two. You're two for two there, Chris. Good job. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. We all should get down on our knees. And we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. The last 10 minutes that we're taking calls tonight. And the end of the show, as I said, we're going to have a gift for everyone that's listening, and hopefully you are. But if you want to call and ask a question, we probably have time for at least one or two callers, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Next week, I am going to be in Florida. I'm going down there to start to look for a house, maybe a second home. I intend to continue to do the radio show. I intend to continue to work. I'm 63, and I intend to work to at least 80, if not much older. Warren Buffett's, 91 this year? And his co-chairman, Charlie Munger, is 95 or 96. So I see no reason that I couldn't possibly do that. But right now, I'm just targeting 80. And, these politicians in Maryland, I've helped countless number of clients over the last 40 years to get out of Dodge. And they don't seem to care. We talk about it. We say, and they have this foolish belief. This is the foolish belief they have. They really believe this, that our taxing does not drive people out of the state. And that we have net people coming into our state. Well, you might have more net people coming into the state because the money machine down the street, known as Washington, D.C., keeps spending money like there's no tomorrow. And they, keep hiring people that, they just keep hiring people. And they tend to live in Maryland or Virginia. But yes, they are driving people out of the state. And then you get, you get a Democratic president come into office and he says he's going to make sure that people with incomes over 400,000. And that's a joke. Remember this. And I've said this many times. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. It's irrelevant. If they come in and they say they're going to tax somebody with this income, be sure that you are going to be the person with that income when it's all said and done. So Biden came in and said $400,000. And if you make that, don't worry, you're not going to pay a nickel more. Trust me that it might be true when he writes his first bill. But by the end of the next year or the year after that, he's going to say, well, we have to get more revenue in because we got this problem or we got that problem. So we're going to make it $100,000. Or he'll do like George W. Bush did. George W. Bush came in and he said, I'm going to cut everyone's taxes. And so he passed 2002 Tax Act and he cut tax rates. But what he didn't tell everyone is, oh, but I'm going to leave the alternative minimum tax law the way it is, that most of you don't even know what that means. It takes a guy like Drew and people like him who are specialists in taxation to understand how I'm going to use the alternative minimum tax to actually get more money out of you than you would have paid if I didn't cut the rates. And the funny thing is, that's why, ultimately the Democrats didn't, try to put up a bigger fight with them, is because they explained to him, well, wait a minute, the alternative minimum tax is going to come in and clobber all these people. We're going to go from getting, taxes on 500,000 or 600,000 people to 5 or 10 million people paying the alternative minimum tax. And then you have George H. Bush, who comes in and says no new taxes. And within, I don't even think it was 6 months, he said, read my lips, no new taxes. 6 months, he's raising taxes. I'll give you many other examples. The alternative minimum tax was originally passed in 1969 because there were 60 families in America who were using real estate and oil and gas properties to minimize their taxes all the way down to zero. And Congress got wind of this and they said, this is an abomination. These people are abusing the tax laws that we wrote. You know, they're abusing the tax laws that we wrote, stupid tax laws that we wrote, and they're abusing these tax laws that we wrote, and we're going to get them. You know, and this is the kind of hypocrisy that the politicians engage in. They're abusing the tax laws that we wrote, and we didn't understand them. And now we've heard about this, so we're going to get them. And so they passed this thing called the alternative minimum tax, so these 60 families would pay some form of tax. And so they did. And you know what? 60, 70 families paid the alternative minimum tax in 1969. By the end of 1980, it was up to a few thousands of families that were paying it, not because they were doing the things that that 60 family did, but because they started to inch it in to making more, because they realize, hey, this is a great concept, the alternative minimum tax. We can get lots of people to pay more taxes, and they'll never even know that they're paying more taxes. And then by George W. Bush, it got up to, I think the number was a maximum of like 12 million people had paid, you know, in a year were paying the alternative minimum tax. That was 60 people originally that was deemed to pay that. And, you know, they got up to 12 million one year. Now, go all the way back to 1913 when the income tax came into existence. Now, this is a great story of history of taxation and why you should be extremely, extremely cautious when any politician tells you, oh, I'm only going to tax these people. So let's go through the story, 1913. So in 1800s, around 1880, they passed an income tax law. And there was a constitutional fight over it. And the Supreme Court said, this is illegal. You have no ability, federal government, to tax the income of individuals, period. It is absolutely in the Constitution. You have no ability to do it. So around 1907 or so, this wing of politicians got together and said, you know, hey, look, you know, these rich people in New York and California and, you know, these wealthy, you know, individuals in these states are paying very little of the overall federal tax. They might be paying some state tax, but they're not paying a lot of federal tax. And if we could have an income tax on these really, really wealthy people, then there would be less pressure on the rest of Americans to pay the federal income tax. Why? Because they used to pro rata proportion the federal income tax to each state. What does that mean? It means this. So if the federal government decided they were going to spend $1 billion, let's just use that, $1 billion, they would then go to each state and say, this is your share. Figure out how to raise it amongst your people. Well, guess what would happen? When the local guy went down to his people and said, hey, we got to raise our portion of the $1 billion, they say, well, go back to the federal government. Tell them stop spending so much money. It was a beautiful, absolutely brilliant strategy to keep the federal government and force them to go down to the local states to say, this is what we need. This is your share. Pay it up. Okay? It was a brilliant by our founding fathers to do this. But they went and they said, no, we should have an income tax because if we do, we can get more people money off these rich people. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to put a 1% tax on everyone who makes over, in today's dollars, $400,000. 1%, 1913. They went through and they had 36 states, I think it was 36 states, had to ratify it. And 36 states ratified it. They passed it. They said, hey, yeah, great. 1% on those people making over $400,000 in today's income. That's logical. We want that. We don't want to have to get pay more and more in taxes. World War I was over in 1918, and all of a sudden they said, we want 10% of everybody who makes over today's dollars $40,000. Just 5 years, they went from 1% of $400,000 to 10% of $40,000, and they justified it because of World War I. And that's the kind of reason why you never, ever believe a politician who lies in your face and tells you, I'm only going to tax the rich. Anyway, we're going to gift after this. Right now, we got to take a pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
A star, a star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite.
We could do karaoke tonight. Yeah. So, anyway, great song, number three. Three for three, Chris. Good job. Anyway, we're on and we're finished with our open show. Last show of the year. And, next week we'll have a show. But I won't be here, and neither will Mike or Chris. We're going to run a special show for everyone. Hopefully you'll listen in. And a great interview with Charles Schwab that I did. Charles Schwab wrote a book called Invested, and hopefully you'll listen next week to that interview. It's probably one of the best interviews I've ever done, and I used to interview Sir John Templeton and Jim Rogers and many other, you know, great guests that I've had, but I would say Charles Schwab was one of the best, and so next week that show will play. But tonight I promised that at the last quarter hour I was going to give you all a gift. And I want you to listen to what this gift is, because you may, you know, you're expecting something material and so forth. But my gift is a blessing. And so let me explain. So Jesus said, every word we will speak will be held accountable for. So my point is that words are extremely powerful. And I don't think we realize how powerful words are. There's another saying that goes, the power of life and death are in the words we speak, or the power of life and death is in the tongue, as the saying actually goes. And so we don't understand how powerful a blessing is. And the concept has been lost in families. It used to be that when our children would turn to adult males, the father would give them a blessing. And it was extremely important. It was extremely important. For example, you know, most people don't realize it, but Abraham was 80 years old. He had a wife who was 70 years old. And God blessed him and said, you're no longer called Abram. You're now called Abraham, father of many nations. And from that point, at 80 years of age, with no children whatsoever, from 80 until he passed away, and I think it was 180 years old he was when he passed away, he fathered many nations. Jewish nation obviously was the largest of all of them, but there is a power in a blessing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about eight different characteristics of God that eight people had encountered. And in them, if you listen with your heart to this blessing, you know, with your heart, not with your head, but with your heart, if you feel that something, when you hear me say that, that's the one that is your blessing. Okay? You hear what I'm saying? So if I say, you know, this is the God that this person got to know, and in your heart you feel, wow, I felt something there. And that's God speaking to you, saying, yes, I'm going to do this for you. So that's what we're going to do. And so here's the blessing. So may you get to know the God of Abraham, the God who will provide the sacrifice for your deliverance. That's what Abraham encountered with God. He encountered the God who provided the sacrifice for his deliverance. And, you know, if you know the story, you know the truth of what happened and the power of that God that he met, and he now knew, who provided the sacrifice for his deliverance. May you come to know the God of the Israelites, the God who will heal, the God who took them when they were out in the desert, they had no water, and they were all of a sudden found a spring, and the spring was poisoned. But God healed the water, and they were able to get the water they needed to heal and revitalize themselves. So may you know the God of the Israelites who will heal. May you know the God of Moses who will be his banner. He'll fight for him and give him the victory. So, you know, Moses had a situation where they're walking through the desert, and all of a sudden these people from surrounding areas decided, yeah, we don't like you. We don't want you to be around here. So Moses said, okay, Joshua, we're going down there, and I'm going to be up there, and I'm going to hold my hands up, and you're going to go ahead and fight, and you're going to win as long as I hold my hands up. And he did, and God was his banner, and he fought for him and brought the victory to him. May you know that God. May you know the God of Gideon. The God of Gideon, God is his peace. When fear should overtake him, the guy's going, he's got 300 people, and he's going up against a tribe of 10,000 with 300 people with nothing more than a lantern, a light, and a bottle. And he breaks the bottle and he screams that, you know, may the God of Gideon, rescue us. they turn on each other and kill each other. And, but the guy had no fear whatsoever, going into this battle. The God of peace, that was the God of Gideon. And I'm sure a lot of us could want to know the God of peace right now. May you get to know the God of David, King David, who was God, was his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, the God who takes care of everything. If you understand sheep, sheep are absolutely defenseless. They need a shepherd to protect them. They need a shepherd to bring them to green pastures to feed. They need a shepherd to bring them to still waters so that they can drink. Sheep can't easily drink out of running water. They want that pool where it's still and they can easily drink from it and so forth. God is my shepherd. And may you get to know the God of that David got to know. The Lord is my shepherd. You get to know the God of Jeremiah. God is my righteousness. And God will help me to accomplish noble things through him, things that no one could expect that I could do, and well beyond my own righteousness, my own abilities. But God helped Jeremiah to be the God of his righteousness. And may you get to know that God of Jeremiah or the God of Ezekiel. And the God is always present, never alone. He knows where I am. And, you know, the God who's always present that Ezekiel knew would be something that I'm sure a lot of us right now would love to know, that God who is present. Because, you know, I think of my mother who sits in her room for the last, 10 months now. And, you know, she gets to see people occasionally, but for, I'd say, 70-80% of the time for the last 10 months, she's by herself in her room, maybe the television on, maybe somebody calls her or something, but very little human interaction. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to clients who say, you know, it's been lonely, very lonely. But if you knew the God of Ezekiel, God is always present. I'm never alone. He's always with me. And no matter where I am, no matter what I'm encountering, he is present. And the last one, the God of Jesus of Nazareth, God is my Father. God is my Father. God is my perfect Father. The God that chose me to come into existence. And whether I, you know, whatever feelings I have about my life and whether I think I'm depressed or whatever, and you wonder why I'm even alive, may you come to know the God of Jesus of Nazareth. God is my Father, the perfect Father, that chose me to come into existence. I tell you, that's the one that always impacts me, that, you know, the God who created the universe. I go outside, and I was just talking to a friend earlier today, and he said he was looking up at the sky, and he saw the stars, and the stars were brilliant. He'd never seen them like that before. He thought, the God who creates this universe thought about me and called me into existence. Anyway, may you receive that blessing, and you heard one in your heart. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Jolly people you love with love, show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.